There are a couple reasons to have an OBGYN give talks, and one of them is because no one tells the kind of jokes an OBGYN can tell. Well, should I have a baby after 35? No, 35 children's enough. I'm 2 months pregnant now. When will my baby move? With any luck, right after he finishes college. What's the most reliable method to determine a baby's sex? Childbirth, and that's the one that I struggle with all of the time in my practice. I have trouble communicating this to people. My childbirth, and I really like this one because this is my life. This is what I do day in, day out in regards to labor and delivery. And again, I get all of these stories from, hopefully there's no childbirth instructors in here, but as an OBGYN, I hear lots of stories the childbirth instructors tell. My childbirth instructor says, it's not pain I'll feel during labor, but pressure. Is she right? Well, yes, in the same way that a tornado might be called an air current. When's the best time to get an epidural? Right after you find out you're pregnant. And guys, if we had to do this, that's exactly when we would get our epidurals. All right. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. I want to read just a couple of passages, a couple of verses from each of these chapters. So as we think about this topic tonight, and again, the interesting part would be that computer screen that's on top of your head of why you're here tonight and what you want to accomplish and what you want to get out of this tonight, my suspicion might be that there are some people who have that maybe even here that have some baggage. Let's be honest, they have some baggage associated with sexually transmitted diseases, have some personal experience with this. And we're going to be very, very sensitive in how we talk and how we speak tonight, but very, very open and very, very honest. Ephesians 4, 1, 2, and 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. That's my goal tonight, that all of us, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, love. Colossians 3, verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Is that something that all of us need when we're talking about this issue of sexually transmitted diseases? Because it can easily become an issue of looking right down the nose at them. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, whoever has complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So let's talk tonight about sexually transmitted diseases. And I believe this is a very important subject, but a very sensitive subject. We need to handle this with discretion, our speech and our manner. It certainly is a subject that elicits a great deal of emotions, both for the individuals involved in the situations and for individuals providing counsel. A lot of emotions involved. And my goal tonight is not to shock or embarrass, but to be honest and medically correct in my speech when it's appropriate in the discussion, and my comments are not meant to be a personal attack. Okay? Not meant to be a personal attack on anyone involved in immorality, but it's to be tactful, but very straightforward and honest. I'd also like to say that as we think about this topic, you might think about this, well, I really need to communicate to you that as I wear the hat now of the doctor talking to you, that I as a doctor and that you as a biblical counselor both see this issue. Now, we see it different ways. In my office, I see people coming in, sometimes saying, I want to be checked for a sexually transmitted disease. Well, guess what question I ask then? Why? What do I get? Well, I get all the other stuff that goes along with it, right? When they come in and see you, what do they bring oftentimes? All the other stuff. Where is it going to lead sometimes? To this topic. So we both see the topic. We see it differently sometimes, but we both see the topic both as a physician and both as a counselor. As biblical counselors, you will often see people with marital problems, extended family problems, job situations, to discover later that sexual immorality is part of the equation. And oftentimes what you'll find very interesting, that I think is very interesting, have you noticed this? People come in to see us in the counseling room and they present with certain complaints or issues or situations or problems. Many times those are not the real reasons they came in for counseling. But you don't know that right away. And in some senses, they are testing you to see if you are trustworthy before they tell you the real reason why they're there. By intent, this discussion is not about issues of rebuilding a marriage after adultery. That's another workshop, and I think we do a really good job with that, of rebuilding a marriage after adultery. And we need to do that. We need to talk about that. Unfortunately, I think that we don't spend the time talking about this issue in dealing with couples and immorality. This workshop, as many others, developed from working through a specific detail of another counseling case. What you'll find interesting is you may say to yourself, why do you guys have some of these topics you have? Well, they come out of counseling cases. They come out of actual cases that we work with. Issue of immorality came up. It was settled in the counseling room. Repentance was asked for. Repentance was granted. Forgiveness was taken care of. Yet, the issues of disease and sexually transmitted disease and their implication were not discussed for another number of weeks. Well, guess what I did? I said, how come we're not dealing with these issues? And the response was, that's a good question. Why don't you do a workshop on that? So that's how this came about. Can we also be honest? This topic is not one that's going to go away. Yeah. It's not. It's not going to go away, even in the Christian community. And it's not something you're not going to see for the next 3 or 4 years. If you don't see it for the next 3 or 4 years, it's because you aren't looking and asking appropriate questions, because this is a topic. In our culture today, the idea of a monogamous sexual relations within marriage is becoming more and more foreign to our secular culture. And that strong influence, unfortunately, affects believers also. So it's going to come up if you gather enough data. Now, let me talk for a second about gathering data. Very important. Gathering data is very important, but it's also a trap. In this area, it can be a trap because you don't gather data from a voyeuristic standpoint. Well, I want to find out as much information so that I can see how bad it really is. And you see, you need to know enough information and specific enough detail without hiding different events to propose an appropriate biblical solution. If you don't know enough detail to provide an appropriate biblical solution, you need more data. But just to gather data for the sake of voyeurism, that's the trap. That's the trap. There certainly are two ditches. One is not to gather the data. The other is the David Letterman late night voyeurism kind of approach to gathering data. There are ditches, and we need to talk about them. Now, let's talk about some case histories. I want to present to you a couple cases that actually occurred, and think about your response in regards to this issue of sexually transmitted diseases. The first case, a couple presents for counseling. They both profess to be Christians. The problem that's initially presented is the husband's lack of contentment. A problem throughout life affecting his marriage, his family, and job situations. Well, we appropriately dealt with the presenting complaint. And we're moving well with that, and they were growing and they were learning. About the third or the fourth session, they come in and the husband says, listen, I just want to tell you what I told my wife coming up in the car to the counseling room today. I told her that I've had 3 extramarital affairs over the past year.